Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, when we talk about steel, we're usually obsessed with the big celebrity elements.
Right. Carbon, chromium.
Carbon is the kingmaker, always. Iron, obviously. But today, I want to talk about a ghost.
A ghost. That's quite the opening.
It fits, doesn't it? We're talking about nitrogen. I mean, if you look at a standard report for a batch of steel, nitrogen is, it's barely a footnote.
That's right. It's a trace element.
10, maybe 30 parts per million. For most people, it's not even there.
Exactly. In standard metallurgy, it's often just a residual, something left over from the air during melting. You don't usually invite it to the party.
But, and here's the paradox for our deep dive today, if you take that residual ghost and you really stuff it into the crystal lattice of iron, you get something that, well, it borders on science fiction.
It really is a Jekyll and Hyde situation. It
Yeah.
all depends on how you treat it.
We've got a stack of sources here, from heavy treatises on nitrides to the theory of transformations in steels, and they paint a wild picture.
Oh, they do.
We're talking surfaces harder than tool steel, magnetic fields that break theoretical limits,
Yeah.
and a microscopic villain that is destroying power plants from the inside out, right now.
It all comes down to atomic architecture. Where you put that single nitrogen atom determines if you build an impenetrable shield or trigger a catastrophe.
I love that. Atomic architecture. So let's start with the shield. The industrial process they call nitriding. I
Yes.
see this on spec sheets for, high performance gears, engine parts. The basic idea seems simple. You just bake the steel in a nitrogen atmosphere.
It sounds simple, but it's much more energetic than, say, a coating. It's a diffusion
So not
process.
like painting a fence.
Not at all. You have to heat the steel up somewhere above 500 degrees Celsius. You need that thermal energy to get the iron lattice vibrating enough to actually let the nitrogen atoms squeeze in.
So we're fundamentally changing the chemistry of the surface, injecting these atoms.
Correct. You're modifying the substrate itself. And when you do this, you get a very specific layer cake structure that grows on the surface.
A layer cake. And this gives you that insane hardness. I saw a figure of around 1,000 Vickers.
That's right, 1000 HV, which, for context, is approaching the hardness of some ceramics. It's incredibly wear resistant.
Okay, so let's slice into this cake. The very top layer, the skin touching the outside world. What is that?
That is the epsilon phase. Chemically, you're looking at something between F3N and F2N.
The source described this epsilon layer as disordered, which surprised me. I mean, in engineering, disordered usually means bad.
Right, it sounds broken. But in this case, the disorder is a feature, not a bug.
Also.
The epsilon phase has a hexagonal structure, but the nitrogen atoms aren't perfectly locked in. There are vacancies, empty spots.
Ah, so the disorder creates pathways.
Exactly. Because it's a bit messy, nitrogen can move through it very, very quickly. The epsilon layer is like a fast lane highway. It grabs nitrogen from the gas and shuttles it deeper into the metal.
A chaotic, fast-moving intake manifold. I like that. So what's underneath that highway?
Underneath, you hit the gamma prime phase. That's E4N. And the contrast here is it's stark,
More ordered.
incredibly ordered. Imagine a perfect cube. Iron atoms at the corners and faces, and right in the dead center, locked in place, is one nitrogen atom. It's a rigid, precise little box.
So you have this chaotic, fast-moving skin protecting this rigid, structured armor underneath.
And then beneath that, you just have the diffusion zone, where the nitrogen fades out into the normal steel core.
Now, I saw a term in the reading that sounded like a weird diet plan, parabolic thickening.
Yeah, it does sound a bit like that, but it's describing the speed at which this armor grows.
So parabolic means it slows down over time.
Significantly. Think about it. The nitrogen source is outside, in the gas. To make the layer thicker, a new nitrogen atom has to travel all the way from the surface through the layers you've already built.
So the thicker the wall gets, the longer the commute for the new bricks.
Precisely. You get diminishing returns. You can leave it in the furnace for twice as long, but you will not get a layer that's twice as thick.
Is there a danger of pushing it too hard then? Can I just crank up the nitrogen pressure to speed it up?
You can try, but you'll break it. The source warns about porosity. If the nitrogen potential in the gas is too high, the epsilon layer can't shuttle the atoms away fast enough.
A traffic jam.
It's worse than a traffic jam. The nitrogen atoms actually start to pile up and recombine into nitrogen gas, N2, right there inside the solid metal.
Wait, so you get actual bubbles inside the steel?
You get microscopic holes. Your hard wear-resistant shield becomes a sponge.
Wow, so trying to go too fast just ruins the whole thing.
A classic engineering trade-off.
Okay, that is fascinating. So
Yeah.
that's the shield. But the sources then take a hard left, turn into physics that sounds, well, way more theoretical. Magnetism.
Ah, yes. This is one of the most exciting and maybe controversial areas in material science.
We're talking about something called alpha double prime. It sounds like a transformer.
The formula is Phi-16N2. And the reason it's such a big deal is because it has what physicists call a giant magnetic moment.
Is giant a technical term here?
It is, believe it or not. If you look at pure iron, its saturation magnetization, basically how magnetic it can get, is about 192 emu per gram.
Okay.
Alpha double prime clocks in at 222.
That's a 15 to 20% jump?
Yeah.
In a mature field like magnetism, that seems massive.
It is huge. It's the kind of jump that makes people dream of better hard drives, more efficient motors, lighter generators. If you could make permanent magnets out of this, you could revolutionize electronics.
So what's the catch?
Yeah.
Why isn't my phone made of alpha double prime right now?
Because it is a total diva. It's incredibly unstable.
How unstable? Like, don't drop it unstable.
Don't look at it wrong, unstable. The source notes that if you heat it above 460 Kelvin, that's only about 187 Celsius, it just decomposes.
187°C, that's nothing. A car engine gets way hotter than that.
Exactly. It gets a little too warm, and the nitrogen atoms just rearrange themselves back into the gamma prime phase and regular iron. And poof!
Your giant magnetic moment vanishes.
Gone. You're just left with regular magnetic iron. It's a Cinderella material. It's magic, but only until the clock strikes.
And I read it's picky about how it grows, too.
Oh, extremely. It only forms as these incredibly thin plates on what we call the cube planes of the iron crystal.
The cube planes.
Yeah. Imagine the iron lattice as a 3D grid of boxes. The alpha double prime structure fits perfectly against the iron atoms, but only along the flat faces of those boxes.
So it can't form big solid chunks.
Yeah.
Just delicate little wafers inside the metal.
Precisely. It's powerful but fragile.
It's amazing that the same element, nitrogen, can make a surface super hard because it's disordered, but make a material super magnetic because it's so perfectly ordered.
It's all about the bond lengths and where the electrons sit. A delicate dance.
Okay, let's move from invisible magnetic plates to something very, very visible. Let's talk about bling.
The gold drill bits?
Yes. Everyone's seen them. You're in the hardware store, you see the cheap silver drill bits and then the shiny gold ones for a few dollars more. And I thought, is that real gold or just paint?
It's definitely not gold and it's not paint either. It's titanium nitride, tin.
But how? Titanium is a gray metal. Nitrogen is a colorless gas. You combine them,
yeah,
and you get gold.
This is pure quantum mechanics. It's about the electronic band structure. The source says the spacing between the atoms, the lattice parameter, is 0.427 nanometers.
A very specific number.
And that spacing dictates how electrons can move. When white light hits it, the electrons in the tin absorb the blue and violet wavelengths very efficiently.
And if you take blue and violet out of white light,
you're left with yellow and red, gold.
So the color isn't a pigment. It's the physics of the crystal lattice itself.
That's it. And what's really cool is that the source mentions you can tune it. If you swap some of the nitrogen atoms for carbon, you change that atomic spacing.
And you change the electron bands.
And you change the color. You can shift it from gold to a deep coppery red just by tweaking the atomic recipe.
That is wildly cool. But it's not just there to look pretty. The source mentions a process called gettering.
Yes. In this context, titanium is acting like a bodyguard inside the steel.
A bodyguard? For who?
For boron. You see, in some high-strength steels, we add a tiny bit of boron to improve hardenability, to make it tougher.
Okay.
But boron only works if it's free to move to the grain boundaries. The problem is, boron loves nitrogen. If there's any stray nitrogen around, it'll get distracted and form boron nitride.
It is useless for hardenability.
Totally useless. So you add titanium, which has a much stronger affinity for nitrogen than boron does.
So the titanium swoops in and grabs all the nitrogen first?
It getters it. It grabs all the nitrogen, forming those little titanium nitride squares, leaving the boron free to go do its important job.
So the gold squares are the result of titanium taking a bullet for boron.
That is a perfect way to put it.
And I love the visual the source gave. It says they form cuboidal shapes.
Little square blocks. Perfect cubes if you look at them under a microscope. It's all about minimizing surface energy. The system is just being as lazy as it can be.
So, up to now, nitrogen is a hero. It makes hard shells, giant magnets, gold coatings. But every story needs a villain.
And the source material has a devastating one.
The Z-phase. Even the name sounds ominous.
It should. This is the nightmare for power plant engineers. We're talking about these heavy-duty, creep-resistant steels.
The pipes carrying superheated steam, high pressure, high heat, for decades.
Exactly. Critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
And the way you make these steels strong is by filling them with tiny good precipitates. Think of them as the nails holding the microstructure together.
Okay, so the steel is held together by these good little nails. Then what?
Then comes Z phase. It's a complex nitride, chromium, niobium, nitrogen. And the problem is Z phase is thermodynamically more stable than the good precipitates.
Wait, more stable usually sounds like a good thing.
Usually. But here, it means the steel wants to become Z phase. It's the end state. But it takes a very long time to form.
So the plant runs for 5-10 years and everything seems fine.
Everything looks perfect. But slowly, over tens of thousands of hours, Z phase starts to form at the grain boundaries. And to grow, it needs niobium and nitrogen.
And where does it get them?
It steals them. It literally dissolves the good nails that are holding the house together to feed itself.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's cannibalizing its own strength from the inside.
Yes. The source calls it microstructural instability. As the Z phase grows, the good particles vanish. The pinning effect is lost. And the steel suddenly loses its strength.
It creeps. The metal stretches and breaks.
Accelerated creep rupture. The pipe bursts. Long before its design life is over, it's a ticking time bomb built into the thermodynamics of the alloy.
It just shows that steel isn't this static, solid thing we imagine it to be.
Not at all. At those temperatures, it's a living ecosystem. A war for atoms is constantly going on.
Just before we wrap, we should touch on the supporting cast, chromium and aluminum nitrides.
Right. Chromium nitride does this visually striking thing called cellular precipitation.
The tiger stripes I saw on the micrograph.
It looks like that. It grows in these alternating layers, a stripe of nitride, a stripe of steel. It looks cool, but it can be bad for corrosion resistance because it ties up all the chromium.
And aluminum.
Aluminum nitride, ALN. It's a helpful sidekick. It forms little particles that act as grain boundary pinners. They stop the crystal grains from growing too big when you heat the steel, which keeps it tough.
A helpful little anchor.
A small player, but a good one.
So let's pull this all together. We see nitrogen as the architect of the layer cake shield, the giant moment in magnetics, the gold in our drill bits, and the parasite in our power plants.
It's just remarkable versatility. It shows that in material science, there are no good or bad elements. There is only structure.
That's the huge takeaway for me. The difference between a tool that lasts forever and an industrial accident is just a few atoms of nitrogen deciding to sit in a slightly different pattern.
It is all about control. If we can control the lattice, we control the properties.
And that leads me to a final thought for you to chew on. We talked about how titanium nitride is gold because of its specific atomic spacing.
And how you can tune it to red by adding carbon, right?
So my question is this. If we get good enough at this, if we can perfectly control the surface lattice of the steel itself, could we tune the color of a car without paint? Could we make steel that is intrinsically atomically blue?
That is a fascinating thought. If you could control the electronic band gap of the surface layer perfectly, then theoretically, yes, you wouldn't need pigments. The metal itself would manipulate light to be whatever color you designed it to be.
A world without paint, just perfectly tuned atomic geometry. I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for diving deep with us today on the hidden world of nitrides.
Always a pleasure to explore the lattice.
Check your drill bits, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.